All right. Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
We'll begin with prayer in this communion class. Dear Lord, I thank you for being in our midst. You always are. And I thank you that you're with us to help us and guide us. Bless this day to be a glorious day in you. Bless everything spoken out. Let it be according to your Holy Spirit. Help us to speak from the heart and minister life to your people. And bless Pastor as he comes forth. Bless the whole day and everyone who comes out this morning. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.
Amen.
Yeah. You know, sometimes the receiving what we need the most, we just need to ask for it.
Amen.
The Lord's right there ready to pay attention and hear us out and write it down and do it. And he'll help. He can move through our prayers, things that we pray for.
Thank you, Lord.
We stopped at verse 7, chapter 19, mm-hmm. St. John 19. I want to back up to verse 1 a little bit. Cause last time we went, we shifted to where we could read about Herod in the other book. All right, it says, "Then Pilate therefore took Jesus and scourged him, and the soldiers planted a crown of thorns and put it on his head. And they put on him a purple robe and said, 'Hail, King of the Jews.' And they smote him with their hands. Pilate therefore went forth again and saith unto them, 'Behold, I bring him forth to you, that you may know that I find no fault in him.' Then came Jesus forth wearing a crown of thorns and a purple robe. And Pilate saith unto them, 'Behold the man.' When the chief priests therefore and the officers saw him, they cried out, saying, 'Crucify him, crucify him.' Pilate saith unto them, 'Take ye him and crucify him, for I find no fault in him.'" Now he had just paid for our healing. By his stripes we're healed.
Amen. Yes.
And he suffered for us.
Ay, ay, ay.
The coldest religion on earth, you know, they people that should have known God recognized him not. And they had this done. They were behind it. But Jesus willingly accepted it so he could pay for all of our sins and their sins and their provide them with healing. But he used the enemy against himself. And to atone for our healing in heaven's court so it could be legal. Every child of God can claim healing and receive it.
Amen.
Total healing.
Thank you.
Because this was done for God's justice. We have a legal right to healing because he, by his stripes we're healed. This is the fulfillment of Isaiah 53 and 5. But he didn't stop there. Verse 7 says, "The Jews answered him, 'We have a law, and by our law he ought to die, because he made himself the Son of God.' When Pilate therefore heard that saying, he was more afraid, because Pilate knew that this was an innocent man. His wife said, 'Have nothing to do against that innocent man.'" So Pilate was afraid. And he went again into the judgment hall and saith unto Jesus, "Whence art thou?" But Jesus gave him no answer. Then saith Pilate unto him, "Speakest thou not unto me? Knowest thou not that I have power to crucify thee and have power to release thee?" Jesus answered, "Thou couldst have no power at all against me, except it were given thee from above. Therefore, he that delivered me unto thee hath the greater sin." And from thenceforth Pilate sought to release him. But the Jews cried out, saying, "If thou let not this man go, thou art not Caesar's friend." Satan is an accuser. And he always accuses to his perceived advantage. If he can get you in fear, he has you in a trap. If he can get you to do something out of fear, you know, fear is like holding his hand. It's tying you to something. Wherever you fear, if you have fear in a relationship, fear that you'll die, fear that you will succeed. Sometimes people fear success. Anytime you fear at all, Satan has you in his clutches. He can manipulate the situation through your fear. But perfect love cast it out. But Caesar, he said, if thou let this man go, thou art not Caesar's friend. Whosoever maketh himself a king speaks against Caesar. Now, that's also hypocritical because they are Jews that believe in the Most High God, supposedly. And now they're using a lie to get Caesar in fear, and Satan's behind the whole thing. When people harden their heart against sin, hardens the heart like nothing I ever seen. And when people are trapped in pride or lust or greed or fear, the enemy, he'll use them just like a tool. These were religious people. These were people who was sitting in the seat of Moses. But this is what they're doing. When Pilate therefore heard that saying, he brought Jesus forth and sat down in the judgment seat in a place that is called the pavement. But in the Hebrew, Gabbatha. And it was the preparation of the Passover. And about the sixth hour, and he saith unto the Jews, behold your king. Now he's trying to get the people to rescue Jesus. He's going beyond the religious leaders. He's trying to appeal to the people. And they cried out, away with him, away with him, crucify him. Pilate saith unto them, shall I crucify your king? The chief priest answered, we have no king but Caesar. And these were the same people that were looking for the Messiah to come to destroy Rome. And now they're siding with Rome, against God. And even Rome wants nothing to do with it. This is also a picture of how if people know better and they do worse than the world, that's worse. Isaiah talked about, he said, the ancient and honorable, they are the head. But the prophet that teaches lies, he's the tail. That's the worst you can get. You know, that's the last part of the animal, the tail. When they read the scriptures, they should have known better, but they did worse. And
they did know better.
They did know better.
That's the whole point. Mm-hmm. Yeah, they did know better, but they rebelled against God.
Yeah. And this was a rally against God himself, because you can't divide Jesus from God. And sometimes I look at how the scriptures are written, how the Lord is going to spit out the lukewarm church. From one point of view, they look great. They do good things. They, you know, it talks about the reputation they have. But God is seeing something that's much deeper, to the point that he'll spit them out. When I first used to read it, I said, you know, these are God's people. And then again, Jesus said, many will come to me saying, Lord, Lord, and they're going to talk about all these wonderful things that they did, casting out demons, raising the dead. They preached in his name. But he'll say, I never knew you. You work iniquity. So that means it's possible to know better and do worse on purpose, with intent, even with dedication. These were motivated people in their demand for Jesus' death. And the Lord knew that this had formed. It was always there from the time, since before he was became a man, since before he was born. And everything was set up in time for them to crucify Christ. And he allowed it. He wanted to be crucified so he could save us all. Satan wanted him out of the picture so he could, because he can't operate when there's light. That's one thing that he can't do. If there's enough light, he can't lie. Because his lies will be exposed for what they are. Jesus is going around healing the sick, raising the dead. And all those people, they go back home. And they live. They had leprosy. Now they have, they're whole again. They have no missing body parts anymore. And they're normal. The priest saw some of them were healed. And they did have missing body parts. But one of them I know had, he was made whole. People that didn't used to walk, they're walking around through the markets, through the town. People that didn't used to hear can hear now and sing. People that couldn't see, they used to beg, they can see. And they're right there in the midst of these people. The life of God is here. The kingdom of God is here and present. And now they want him dead. Why would they want him dead? Their heart had drifted far from God. And so Satan wanted Jesus out of the way so he could go back and make things dull again. And he could take advantage of more people. But the light came. But he didn't know that Jesus was, by the Holy Spirit, he's going to raise us up and supply us with the Holy Spirit. And now we're an extension of him, millions of people all over the world. And that's precisely what happened. And my next favorite scripture is, if they had known, they wouldn't have crucified him. But the Lord looked at all this, everything that was for what it was, and used it for his purpose, for his glory. We're out of time. All right, verse 15. But they cried out, "Away with him! Away with him! Crucify him!" Pilate saith unto him, "Shall I crucify your king?" The chief priest answered, "We have no king but Caesar." And we'll pick up that next week. The Lord is, they were very determined to do what they were doing against all wisdom, against all knowledge. And the Lord laid his life down for us. And he willingly and dedicated himself to lay his life down. And it was painful, but he took what should have been our stripes upon himself to heal our bodies. He said, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me." The love of God. After the same manner also, he took the cup when he had supped, saying, "This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me." Dear Lord, I thank you for your word and your presence and your healing. Lord, bless us to boldly go forward in life, living the light of God, receiving healing, receiving all the blessings in salvation. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.
All right.